we're going to give you about 30 seconds to get your kid out of the room.
Get him out of here right now.
You can pause
right now.
Kids, go away.
Go leave.
Get.
I don't want to hear from you again.
Go to your room.
But with love.
Uncle Bobbo says, go to your room. You're not grounded. You're not in trouble. Just go to your room because Uncle Bobbo's tired of looking at you or talking to your ears. One of the two.
Okay, so now that it's just Adult Swim time.
Okay, it's just adults. Holy
I
shit.
I gotta do some. Give me 1 second. Oh, give me 1 second.
Fuck me. Oh, man. Oh, dude. I don't think I've. Okay, we are both educators.
Yeah, I can't go that long without saying a cuss word even in the classroom. Look at me.
Yeah,
I'm.
Oof. I. Man.
Tad oh, back man. On. Like. Okay.
Oh, don't put it backwards. Don't put it backwards.
I won't put it backwards. I won't put it backwards. Okay, so real talk, parents. Real talk, adults. This book is awesome, especially as a kid's book that you're reading as an adult. It's awesome. There's a lot of killing in it, but not, like, unreasonable, and it's, like, war killing. But also, I'm going to say the big reason why this book is awesome.
What is it?
Because fuck the alt-right.
Oh, my
fuck,
God.
Fuck ugly... And I am saying ugly, fuck dumb, but ugly, old ass fucking Warhammer nerds that think it belongs to them.
Oh,
fuck
my
them.
God.
Buy this book if you just want to, like, monetarily
make it
spit
popular.
In the face of
oh,
stupid adults like this
to,
fucking loser
this,
that I'm going
to
play.
If I knew that this, don't hit it yet, because I want to watch it with you. If I knew that this existed a year ago when it came out, I would have been all over it just because of the reaction.
Yeah.
And I would have been promoting it everywhere because, oh my God, the backlash that this thing got from the Warhammer, like, community.
The community. You're playing with fucking toys, guys.
If you play games, as an adult, games are for babies. They're for fucking babies. I play games. They're for fucking babies. So you know what? Grow up, because the little army men that you move around on the table, it's for fucking babies.
They were made for babies.
Yeah, so we can make a product. We can make a product more accessible for little goddamn babies.
Right, and so there's so much. Okay, so these books came out. It was Warhammer trying to rebrand themselves, and they did it with the Warhammer Adventures line. And it is adventures written for kids. That regardless of anything you see out there, you can absolutely. We will even look at the sample today. You're going to hear from the whole... And Battle Dave, you don't got to feel attacked because you're not one of those guys. You're not one of these guys. I'm going to show you.
No,
I'm going to show you. Cowboy says, don't talk shit about my baby. No, Cowboy, I'm not talking shit about your baby toys. I'm just saying, like... Yeah.
You know what this is? You know what this is right here? This is a Necron. This is Necron parts.
I got baby
right
toys,
here,
too.
Dude. Okay?
I do baby things. Look, I got Star Wars on the wall. I definitely do baby
things.
My whole Twitch
feed is about doing baby baby games.
So, but the thing about it is... The minute these books came out, because they might have a little bit altered some of the lore to make it a little kid friendly, which I have a legitimate defense against that. Like,
and I
want to
talk about that too.
it's modified some of the Warhammer lore, because okay, here's a phrase the Warhammer community uses. I don't like.
I know what. Can I say it? Can
okay,
I say
just
it?
Fucking say it.
It's grimdark.
Fuck! If I have to hear the phrase grimdark used unironically one more time to describe how cool something is, I am just going to take my fist and punch it into my butt, like, over
it's
and
from
over.
The tagline, it's from the tagline for Warhammer, which is, in the grim darkness of the future, there is only war. And that tagline is what has all these fucking nerds all upset. Because they're like, oh my God. Dear God, God forbid there's children.
Let kids
in a universe that we procreate in a universe for those people.
Welcome kids into the fucking fandom, because guess what? It's gonna die. It's gonna die. Like if we continue. Oh, I still have an old Nightbot up there. If we can gatekeeping fandoms like Warhammer from interested children, right, in a way that is both marketable and accessible. We're going to actively kill it. And see, here's Battle Dave right there with the reality. This is why I love Battle Dave so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they altered the lore at all. They simply took out the gore and adult themes. I really don't think it went over poorly at all. It's funny, and I think you're right about that, Battle Dave. All the reviews I've read are great. If you go on, like, the Warhammer Reddits and, like, just search for this stuff, it's like this pocket of angry Warhammer non- non-liberal or like left-leaning.
They're right-leaning.
Super right, yeah. Alt-right people. Like, I'm gonna play a video in a second. That are, like, so upset that their shit has been tainted. Like, fuck you! Because there's characters of color in it?
I'm gonna show you a fucking taint.
It's Uncle Baba right for us. Because there's a character of color that is a protagonist.
That is
because,
the main, like, the main character. Look out!
Yeah, like, because a character demonstrates that Talon demonstrates emotional vulnerability at the fact that he doesn't want to be a soldier. Like, and yet Talon is a badass.
Yeah, no, he's like, he's a tough kid.
A planet gets blown up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like they're like making it any less grim, dark.
It's just the way kids would see it.
Yeah.
It's, mm-hmm. it's if you planted kids in this grim, dark world, and they dealt with this stuff as the reality that they lived in. It's not going to be grimdark to them. It's just going to be fucking reality. Mm-hmm. And these kids deal with that reality sometimes awesomely and sometimes humanly.
Also, have you seen the box covers from those 90s versions of Warhammer and the related Warhammer games? Like the 40K with the, I think, the Blood Angels or whatever on the front were like, those pictures don't look grimdark. They look chunk dumb.
chunk dumb is the opposite of grimdark.
Yeah, it's not like grow up, dude. It's gotten the art style. And look, the art style is great.
It's amazing. Nowadays. Games Workshop has done a Games Workshop and the Warhammer universe. I don't know what the best way to put it. Has done such a great job at changing with the time. Yeah. To make their product accessible. Well, and like I will say, hand of the air, before I understood Warhammer, it was the same way I was with Magic. Chunk Dumb is better than Grimdark, Cowboy says. Chunk Dumb is way better than Grimdark. I'm going to put my hand up there and say I was one of those kids in the 90s who was super, your cup is being real weird right now. It's trippy's balls. I was a D&D kid like you, and I thought Magic the Gathering was dumb. I was like,
Magic the Gathering. Ruined D&D.
Right, like, these two nerds are fighting, right? Then I got older and I started to realize, I was like, oh my god, games world in not in competition.
Yeah.
But I, as a kid, I thought that Warhammer, when I was a little younger, I thought it was, like, really inaccessible to, like, it just didn't seem cool.
Mm-hmm.
This would have sort of been the solution for a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
This book. It was a cool spacefaring adventure where these kids escape from a planet that is being destroyed by interdimensional skeleton beasts that are basically undefeatable. They have to flee. They get on a ship. They get tossed onto an ice planet where they basically have to flee from the predator Necron. And it's awesome. Yeah. It's actually really cool. I have some issues with it, but it's, for the most part, like, a B plus A. Like, I enjoyed the shit out of it.
And reaching out to kids' audiences is not a thing that Games Workshop is doing for the first time.
Right.
Do you remember HeroQuest?
Yeah. Yeah, it was
Battle. What is the one we had as a kid that was Warhammer, regular Warhammer, on like a board game scale, but it was bigger.
Battle,
you know, the armies.
Yeah, battle.
Somebody help me. I looked it up recently. Keep talking for a second.
You're saying that they were appealing to like a younger audience at some point.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think the other thing too is that you need to
Games
even,
Workshop and Milton Bradley. I think it was.
We need to look at even like logo, like the Warhammer Age of Sigmar universe has a certain logo under which all of these things and what's a franchise? What's the
Battle Masters?
Battle Masters.
Battle Masters. And we had that. That came out in 92. We had that game, and yep. Like I remember trying to paint those figures.
Yeah, yeah. And it was hard.
It was really hard, but it was this real introduction into what that hobby was.
And like the fact is, so I want to show everybody before, and I'm actually not saying too much about the plot. Because I'm hoping that people read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest with you, while it's not the best thing I've ever read in my entire world, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Actually, I enjoyed the hell out of it more than I have anything that we've read for Quarantine Book Club.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree, man. Like, this is, and not in a bad way, it was fun.
No, it was a good book.
It was. Yeah, and
super, super fun in a way that, like, I enjoyed listening to David. And I think that's things like bringing David Tennant in.
Yeah.
Was a big win for them as far as finding an audience that's going to listen to it as adults.
Yes.
Because that's where the money is. Like, I don't buy audiobooks for my kids. Like, I'm like, here's the book, read
but
it.
But I'm going to go read it. Actually, Battle Dave, I think you're absolutely right, too, is, like, I'm surprised they haven't been doing young adult books yet. And I really like the fact that they label these for, what do they call, middle-age reader? Not middle-age, middle readers? There's something
middle school?
Yeah, it's basically like middle school, right? Mm-hmm. But I also think it might be English in general. So if there's any Englishmen in the chat who know what that phrase is.
Oh, yes. And that's the thing I was wondering, is, like, because this is,
it's all
Workshop is English.
Yeah. You know how you can tell that?
Because of the way they spell color?
Well, the printing in it as well, they use single quotes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'll actually show you the, but yeah, so that is, they also talk about, like, one of the characters, she has a lion. Like, there were all these phrases, like, Zelia's mom tells her, she's like, well, you worked hard, so I'll let you have a lion this morning. And I was like, oh, that's so British!
Do you think that,
it's good that 40K is appealing to the middle-aged audience. Let me tell you what. I'm going to show you a guy in just a few minutes who clearly needs to appeal to. I don't know what fuck he needs to appeal to. I'm
the middle-aged audience, and it is finally appealing to me. Yeah. I'm 43, and it's finally appealing to me.
There's Arsenic says there's this little theory of Grimdark right now, or an opposition of Grimdark called Noble Dark. And I actually was reading about this fairly recently, too, where everything sucks and the world is shit and out to break you. But the act of defying the relentless grimness is portrayed as noble and worthy. There's a whole little subgenre thing surrounding this. Absolutely. And I think that's also seated in that in itself has a seat in old myth and legend writing, too. And specifically, I think back to, this is where my literary nerd part of me is coming. Looking at the way fantasy has all naturally sort of become quote unquote grimdark, we have shifted fantasy from a fantastical world into fantasy being associated with destruction, damnation, torture, and damage, a la Game of Thrones.
It's low fantasy as opposed to high fantasy.
And
we've gone back to stuff like Conan.
Yes.
Like, the Conan stories, things I read early developmentally in my fantasy learnings, in my fantasy reading. And then we step away from that, and like Tolkien really built your Lord of the Rings fantasy, which is your high fantasy level, and that moves into stuff like most Dungeons and Dragons, like Forgotten Realms and stuff like that. But then like the Witcher stuff, Game of Thrones.
If it's gonna be fantasy, there's gotta be a lot of beheading. There's gotta be a lot of women getting taken advantage of. Cause if you're a woman, that's your only job in our world. That's why the Game of Thrones, like, I'm starting to get to the point where I think about it. I'm like, you know what? That ain't for me. But that's the thing I love to say about this. No awkward sexual innuendo anywhere. No,
not only that, a moment where one of the characters, one of the Talon, the boy character, yeah. He acts like protective of Zelia.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, dude, what's your problem? Like, I'm capable of taking care of myself. And it's this inference that he's protective of her because not only is she a girl, but he clearly kind of has a crush on her.
Yeah.
Or at least some type of adolescent
interest.
Infatuation and interest.
And it just sort of boots it to the ground.
She cuts it out. Yep. And she's like, mm-mm. And it's not even like it's not done harshly. It's done tastefully. Yeah. It's done in a way that she just kind of is like, I'm a person and I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
But
ooh, we got to survive together. And you know what? We're developing a friendship, a legitimate, trustworthy friendship.
Mm-hmm.
God, what a novel idea. And weirdly enough, this actually reminds me a lot of the comparison I was making earlier when I was thinking about what Arsenic was saying about Noble Dark, was looking back at some of the earliest fantasy we have now as influence. In the 1500s, 1600s, there was a fantasy poem put out. It was huge. It was this huge epic poem called, and I think I've talked to you about this before, called Orlando Furioso, or Mad Orlando.
Okay.
And he is basically he's a knight seeking his honor, and he goes on a series of adventures. And these aren't adventures that are like, save a girl. It's like, oh,
There's a demon on the moon, so my ass is flying to the moon. And he, like, gets on an angel horse and flies to the moon. And when he's on the moon, like, he has this whole battle on the moon with, like, moon armies and shit. And then he flies back down. Like, really fantastically huge set pieces that are almost ridiculous and satirical in their own right. And it's clearly written to honor, you know, nobility, et cetera, et cetera. But those are the kind of things that I actually think I'm missing a lot of the time from fantasy is complete jabberwockiness of them, the nonsense explained. And in a way, the book had plenty of that. Them talking about, like, you can't look at your ship going, or you can't look outside when your ship's going warp speed mad, but we're going to a totally other dimension in the process. Like,
yeah.
Really world-leaping adventure that, that these kids go on.
That is straight up Warhammer lore. Like,
oh, I see, and that's where I don't know. Yeah.
Basic, it's some of that's the most basic Warhammer lore. And there's neat references to stuff in here, including some of the, just in my periphery, and like other people in the chat probably even know better. When they talk about the gangs and stuff in the Hive world,
yeah,
that's more the setting for like Necromunda.
I was thinking that too, because they were talking about the Hive.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, so I think it's cool that they touched on other properties.
Yeah.
Well,
and this is not, so I was doing a lot of research. They've got, so I'm going to actually share my screen.
Mm-hmm.
They have Warhammer Adventures in 40K and Warhammer Adventures in Sigmar.
I saw that, and I'm curious to know what the difference
Sigmar
is.
Ones, they're all other stories. It's not the same characters. I think it's some of the same, like, ideas that you have characters are diverse, you know, characters that are from totally different backgrounds that look like any kid that might read the book, which I'm all for. There's no force in that, because that's our fucking world, you guys. And if you have a problem with that, then you got an issue. But like, let me see here. Like, there's one of these ones, they have all the characters are here. But like, they have a whole book about them going after, like, a Skaven invasion.
Nice.
Like, how cool is that? The kids in the 40K universe, like,
they fight gene orcs, stealers in the next one, orcs. Yeah, like, it's
almost like they're globe trotting, world trotting, to introduce all these really things to kids through the eyes of these characters. Like, they're discovering all these things as well. Really remarkable, like that. I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree.
So, Battle Dave, I'm the same way. Like, I think it's a really cool, there's videos online. I love this website because, in fact, Bob, we're going to do something right now. Okay. We're going to go to the games here. So we are going to, I want to generate your character name.
Okay.
Okay, so what is your first name?
Bob.
Is it Bobbo or Bob?
I mean, we could do Bobbo.
Bobbo, what's your favorite food?
It's Babu Babu cheese steaks. I mean, it did change recently, but we'll stick with cheese steaks.
Okay, cheese steaks. Oh man, I spelled that wrong.
Why don't we go back to Vindaloo? You could do Vindaloo.
Okay, Vomdaloo. Jesus, that's Vindaloo. How do you spell Vindaloo? Vindaloo like that?
V-I-N-D-A-L-O-O. I can't see your screen.
V-I-N-D-A-L-O-O.
Yeah.
Okay. And your side, are you 40K or Sigmar? I gotta know.
I'm 40K.
Generate your name. You're Captain Stormy, Bob.
Oh,
you seem like you're like a. I see Captain
Boy.
Captain Stormy.
I don't. Captain. Okay. Yeah. Wait. Before I do that, Battle Dave doesn't know what Vindaloo is.
Oh, Battle Dave.
Battle Dave. Vindaloo is an Indian-inspired food. I won't call it Indian. It's Americanized Indian food. Or even Europeanized Indian food, because the Indian food that we all eat is not the Indian food that is from India. And it's the one that I like is chicken vindaloo, which is chicken and potatoes and a little bit of like onion in a really rich tomato sauce. But it's not. Bro, I'm looking at the gallery that you've been scrolling through.
I was letting you explain.
Drawings are the stupid.
No, but they're also awesome. Like, is this a
space and cron?
It's a space marine mixed with a Necron.
Yeah.
Let your imagination go, man. You know what? There's going to be lore nerds that are come to you like, that's actually not a thing that can happen. We're going to watch
him
in a second.
Fellas. Hey,
is that Noob Fellas?
Thank you for the raid, man.
Hey, Noob Fellas, what's going on? Thanks for coming in. We are talking about Warhammer Adventures, book set in the back to the neck.
Oh, Cowboy, thanks.
Bobo the Tempestuous. I love it too. I mean, look at this. This kid wanted to make Space Marine Necrons. Look at this badass, though. Look at Logan's drawing this bad. It's a Space Marine, the fucking chainsaw sword, dude.
I can't see because I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Hold on. Oh, wow.
How cool is that?
Is that Uncle Scrooge, the Space Marine?
I don't care. It's so badass. And you know what? This right here is what makes me psyched about these. Because it's clear that kids have gotten invested enough in them. Like, they don't talk about Space Marines looking like this. They've looked at pictures. They've explored the Warhammer universe in their own right. Maybe through a parent. And I think that is so friggin' cool. This is the kind of kid who's going to grow up. He's going to be 18. He's going to be 19. He's going to be 20. He's going to be playing at the local gaming store, enjoying Warhammer, getting angry at other nerds. And that's cool.
It's also in the book, they talk about the... Dave, 100%, man. Riss, when you hear about eviscerators and chain fists, you're gonna be like,
I'm the warrior Yargonia.
Your favorite food is, bro, spaghetti. Your favorite food is spaghetti.
I love spaghetti. I had it tonight. It's one of my favorites. Yeah,
is it really?
I have so many favorite foods, it's hard
that's
to
so but that's like so weird one. Because spaghetti is like a throwaway food for me. If I never
you're
have it again, I don't
you're
care.
A fucking throwaway to me. Okay,
wow, man. Okay, that was a little mean. I didn't say that you're a piece of trash or
you know
the
what I have to say about
you,
that man.
I just said I'm not a spaghetti.
Hey, well, you
person.
Know what, you know what I have to say about that? I would have to say that if you don't like spaghetti, if you don't like anything like that, then I don't know what the hell you're doing here, because I'm just gonna drink this beer and you can eat my ass.
Hey, you know what's really fun about when you do that? Is you have control over all that stuff, so I never get cool sound effects, I never get cool music. I'm really sad right now.
What are you sad? Hey, Mick Arcade. Wait until Rance hears about eviscerators and chain fists. Like, yeah, okay, what's a chain
what
fist?
I said earlier.
Is that like a fist that's covered in chains that like grinds into someone's soul?
Thanks, Mick Arcade. I appreciate that you say I'm handsome. But I'm feeling really depressed now.
Why?
Because you told me that I was a throwaway person.
Well, you said spaghetti's throwaway, and I love spaghetti.
Did I talk shit
about Vindaloo? No. Even if Vindaloo sucks, but I didn't talk shit about Vindaloo.
Can I talk?
I think you can. Go ahead.
I think I might have even said spaghetti. I don't know if I said. I will have to go back. Look, man, I don't hate spaghetti. Just sometimes I want to eat a food that's not high in carbs, doesn't make me want to get diarrhea from the sauce, and doesn't make me feel like I'm an old man who is eating worms. So that's why I choose to eat not spaghetti most of the time. Also, like, I don't know, pasta is just sort of bland. It's like pasta is a delivery service for sauce.
Welcome to Food Talk with Rance and Bob, where we fucking disagree about everything that's important. I think part of me, I gotta say, there are some issues with the book. So let's talk about that.
Course.
We talked about how awesome it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's a good romp, a good stomp. It's a blast. There's not too deep, like literary. It's not literarily deep.
No.
It's just like
it's a kid's book.
Kids go on a cool fucking adventure and they do fucking cool things. They kill a fucking Necron. They don't, and that's the
thing. The part that kills me.
Me
yeah, man.
Too.
That's the part. That's the biggest problem that I have.
Me too.
Sorry, there was a bug that flew in front of my face.
Hey, Mick Arcade, thank you so much for that sub. I really. That in the end, it's the adult that resolves the problem in the presence of the kids and not the kids. And so I like, like, what did that make you feel like? Like, what were the things you were thinking about that?
I was thinking like, I didn't need that. It was anticlimactic. The kids figured out a plan and their plan didn't work. So then the adult had to come in and it was a message that I didn't need. I didn't want like to hand to kids, which is, hey, you know what? You're going to screw up and an adult will have to come in and fix your problem for you. And what's funny is as a parent, I do want kids to understand that. Like, I want my kids to understand exactly what the book is telling me, but I don't ever want them to read the book and be like, because that ruins the fun of it. It ruins the fun for a kid who is relating to them. They're living vicariously through the characters. And if, you know what, you don't ever vicariously live through the characters and go, and then your mom came and cleaned up the mess.
Right,
for you.
Right.
Good job.
And especially with something like a Necron, right? This really terrible. They had actually sort of bested the Necron halfway through the book.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for, so the characters, like the he's the inventor. Yeah. He's C-3PO. Mechie is C-3PO.
Yeah, he's Martian too, which is cool. I like that specifically. And
I do too.
There's a faction in Warhammer that is specifically based around like their affinity for technological stuff. And I don't remember what the name of it is. Of course, Dave would know. But the symbol on his shirt is that. And if you look at it, I'm pretty sure it even has a little skull in it too.
Yeah. Super bad. It's the Adeptus Mechanicus.
That's it.
Did I say it right, Dave?
Yep, that's it. And just ask Dave. Just ask Dave if you want to know anything.
I want to play.
Why am I doing this?
I want to play something. Right. No, that's in the future when we read another one of these books. I want to have Battle Dave on because I want him to be like, I want Battle Dave to approach it with the lore mindset kindly, right? To be like, okay, like here's where this might not be part of the normal lore, but where's it been? It's been. But I do want to have Battle Dave on here at some point to talk about that. He says he's got 20 years of useless knowledge rolling around up there, right? We had our boy Mikey on recently. We had our sister on. Got to get Battle Dave in here with that knowledge. I want to play you guys some
corporate BS.
All this corporate.
Are you going to play me some corporate BS?
I'm really defensive of this. I don't think I'm going to shoot.
Okay. Is it a video?
You have it. You have the video. I've sent you the link. I want you to play at the same time I do. And we're just going to watch about a minute because it is literally the reason why these books need to succeed. And that all of these fucking bottom dweller, shit heel, alt-right Warhammer nerds that are poster children for a Nazi future that will never fucking happen need to go get fucked. Because just let this guy talk to you about the book. He did a 45-minute review of how terrible this book.
Oh man, cool.
Bring him up here. Let me bring him up here.
All right, so let me bring it up too, and then you can tell me when to hit play.
All right, I am ready whenever you. So go 1, 2, 3.
The thing is, believe it or not, the pet sidekick is not even my biggest problem with the book. It's really not. My biggest problem over the whole thing. But before I cover my biggest problem, here's my second biggest problem. The part that got me to want to toss the book through my window.
Through his window.
Was there was a part where the Ultramarines drop pod crash land on the planet Targian.
So here's a question I have for you. What is this guy's like, the part that bothers me isn't anything about the skeletons that are clearly interdimensional skeletons that are fake because this is a fantasy world.
Are you still watching this?
No, I'm not. Okay, I paused it.
Shoot. I went to all the way to the beginning.
It's not the fact that they can go through space, that there's warp madness. What makes me mad is the representation of the Ultramarines, and I'm going to tell you fucking why. Here he's going to tell you exactly fucking why. The Ultramarines, this is what makes him want to throw the book through a fucking window.
Okay, so
the book starts out on with the original archaeological dig with a planet that blows up. Yeah, by the way, this whole sequence is so run of the mill standard, it's pathetic. But essentially, the vehicle that they all travel to the dig site in towards the beginning of the book again, when the invasion of the Necrons was just starting, and a wave of those little scarab bot things are coming for them, and conveniently their vehicle's not working. You can imagine this in any cartoon. So the vehicle's not working. They're like, and Mechie's trying to repair it. He's trying to repair it real quick. And they're like, Mechie, you better repair it real quick, and the scarabs are coming. And then all of a sudden, boom, between them and the scarabs, a drop pod lands. The drop pod lands, pops out Ultramarines. Now, standard Ultramarine, or any Space Marine chapter, would have charged into battle, that would have been the end of it. But what happens that made me want to toss the fucking book across the fucking
Here you go, he's got real things planet, coming in now.
Was there one ultramarine hopped out of the pod and saw them in their ship and turned to them and told them to get out of there.
I suspect he
now to anybody who's
he uses Simpsons. He used a little Simpsons video to show how unrealistic this is. But we got to keep going. We got to keep going because this guy has only... We're only going to hear about 30 more seconds. But...
Uninitiated to this hobby, who doesn't know jack shit about the lore. You're like, oh, well, that's kind of a dumb thing to want to throw the book across the floor for. If these were salamanders, I wouldn't have a problem with it. It would be in character for them. For literally every other chapter of Adeptus Astartes throughout this entire franchise, every other chapter, humans are more or less inconsequential.
Okay, hey, bro. Hey, first of all, I need you to do a thing. Before you want to talk about space marines, before you want to talk about made-up people
eat
in
crusty,
a made-up universe.
Eat crusty white dog shit, Battle Dave says.
I need you to do me a fucking favor, you fucking piece of shit. I need you to shave whatever that stupid pube thing is on your face. Get a real haircut and grow the fuck up.
Can we also talk about...
fucker.
Can we also talk about a little bit of mood lighting in your room? By the way,
can we talk about what is this? What is all this?
He's got his sword. Like? He's got his badass sword on the wall. Also, by the way, I want to clarify that Bob's statement about largeness is out of anger, not out of shame.
Also, you know what? I'm a former fat guy. It's fine. I'm still not even a former fat guy. I'm still a fat guy. All right. So like, but you piece of shit. There's like you fucking scumbag.
The thing that pisses me off so bad is that the ultimate breeds. No one fucking care about kids. They're just charging a battle. So I like
it's a kids special book. You're trying to also they're trying to sell a product to children.
The minute I heard, as maybe an uninitiated member of the Warhammer community, the minute I heard the Ultramarine showed up, I know what an Ultramarine's like, right? I know about how badass they are and how tall they are. And these kids saw them with such awe and wonder, and I was like, I was seeing them with awe and wonder in the book. I was like. No, but I didn't get the idea. Here's the thing. I didn't get the idea that the Ultramarines were perfect heroes. Never once. I didn't get that idea. I got that they were there to do a job, almost like bug hunters, right? And they would destroy what they needed to do there. But this one Ultramarine was like, kids. And he doesn't go, kids, get out of here. He goes, get out of here. He just, like it's menacing, and the kids are scared of him, and they piece the hell out, right?
Yeah, excuse me, lady and gentlemen, would you please make your way to the nearest escape pod? He's like, get out of here.
Yeah,
he's almost not even like he's talking to them like they're pests.
Right. Do I find every bug that I see in the world? Do I stomp them?
No.
No, I don't have because I don't have to. Right. So the fact that we have to apply this overall mindset to all whatever fuck, but like Battle Dave says,
bro,
how dare.
Are you going to play more of him?
Do you want to play more or do you want me to
not
play
more? No, I don't.
More?
I want to stop looking at his dumb face. I can't stop. He's also doing this. Wait, hold on.
Do our best imitation. I hope this guy finds us because I would fucking start a fight with him. This is another guy that I want to fight. Like, hey, Warhammer boy. What's his name? Warhammer Asmogon. His name is Asmogon. But not ironic. Asmogon. Dear Asmogon, I really... dear Asmogon, Asmogon, you've got a lot. I know you've got a wrinkled flag on the wall. I know that that's a fake flag, and I know that your blue Yeti mic suggests that you're a technological genius. I know the sword on your wall is something that you could pull out at any moment to slice people apart in honor of your lady. And that this right here is just nothing but clout for you, right? But it's this V-neck sweater that I really want to talk about. V-neck t-shirt. And your weird chest hair that's showing right through it. Your devil's block haircut. And also, I don't like the fact that your room clearly looks like it's been shellacked with old cigarettes and semen. So you know what? Asmogon, fucking fight me. Send me an internet evite. Send me a Jub-Jub card. Send me a Zib-Zub that says, "Dear Rance, I want to fight you. Don't dox me first. Fucking fight me. Put your magic where your mouth is and come bring it to me, Ultramarine. I'll fucking show you how to throw somebody through a fucking your bearded people."
Why can't kids just have some kid stuff? Like, why do you gotta be, why are you gonna be a grown-up baby about the whole thing?
I got 46 minutes. I gotta tell you all about what I feel about it.
The Space Marines, they don't do that. They do other things, except maybe it was the salamanders, because they wear green.
Can't we invite children into these worlds, these awesome, amazing worlds of imagery and fantasy and excitement? Because they are. I grew up with fantasy worlds. I grew up with R.A. Salvatore's Dark Elves. I grew up with D&D. I grew up with Captain Power, right? Captain Power.
No, Captain Planet can, he's a, whatever, did take pollution down to zero. Who cares?
I never once did I ever have an adult who was like, "No, this isn't for you." I was surrounded by adults who were like, "Kid, you're into that? That's really cool. Check this out." That's what we need to be. Not this piece of shit. So I will put my money behind these books. I hope these things soar, man, because kids deserve to see this cool stuff. Warhammer is cool shit. And it needs to be overwhelmed with cool, open-minded kids from different backgrounds and that look different than this fucking guy that come in and are like, "You know what? It's cool to play, like, to play fantasy games and imaginary games with guns and swords and fucking come together and kill Necrons." Like, gatekeeping when you're a fucking 37-year-old man is not cool. It's just not cool anymore.
No, get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Fucking Asmongong.
Why don't you go actually have a kid and then see if maybe you...
He's like, got kids. He just doesn't pay the child support, okay? He's got at least four. Definitely.
I just don't like it, man. I don't like...
Let kids have cool things. But I don't know what... But here's the thing. Here's the other thing. So I'm looking at the chat right now. Okay, so let me bitch about Space Marines and how I likely have a small penis.
Oh, man. Baladave, you should ask.
What's a Jub-Jub card, Baladave?
King of Jub-Jubs.
Mick Arcade knows that I want to fight people on the internet because I do. Larry Correa, I will fight you. And I'm honest. Like, set up a fight with me, man. Like, let's train. I will fucking train. And I'll fly to you. You gotta just fly equal amounts. And if I lose...
I'll fly to you, but fly equal amounts.
If I lose, I'm gonna accept my bruises. I'm gonna say, "Asmongong beat me in a fight. Larry Correa beat me in a fight."
And then you know what you're gonna do? You turn around and go, "But you're still stupid!"
Yep. And here's the other problem I have, is that Asmongong isn't the only problem, dude. Look at the comments on Asmongong's page. "After listening to Asmongong's review of this book, I feel that aside from grammar, this book is insulting to kids. All there are different genres, I know at least two different series that treat their young readers with more respect." What? Don't pull that bullshit in here. Don't pull that bullshit, because this book does a great job at respecting its readers. It's not written poorly. It's written quite subtly and powerfully. Great language, great vocabulary. I would allow a kid to read this. I would teach this book. Thematically, it touches upon a lot of things that we need to have kids, right? Friendship, retribution and forgiveness, perseverance. Like, and maybe that kind of stuff is a little bit run-of-the-mill, but good. Look at the world we fucking live in right now. We clearly need reminders.
We have tropes. It's fine. There's not a single thing out there that doesn't live in a world of trope. Like, when this dude's getting butthurt about the fact that, "Oh, they had the increase of tension because the car's broken down." How many times do you see that? Yes, a lot. But you know what? Also, how many times do you see that? Like, it's kind of a standard thing. And what they're doing is they're taking one of the characters who has a specific skill and they're using it in an important situation. Yes. And it's not the only time that his skills come in important either. So, like, I don't know.
I'm just sad they had David Tennant narrating it. Talent wasted on a film.
Also, dude, hey, dude, guess what? You want to talk about how you've seen this thing in so many different things because it's a trope. Guess what? You're handing this to like a 9-year-old who doesn't know what a trope is and maybe hasn't seen it in a million things. So maybe it's the first thing that he's seen it in. So why don't you shut up?
If you want to look at another story to figure out how life is for normie kids in the 40K, the fact that this guy used the phrase normie just immediately means that he deserves to get his head shoved into a ball jar until the ball jar pops the pressure of his big skull tiny brain on the inside of it. I want to put light bulbs in these guys' hands and slowly force their fingers with dried rawhide to close around it until it pops in their palm. Yes, I am advocating. No, I'm not actually doing that. I'm sorry, Twitch. I'm sorry. can we give kids without shitting all over it with our nerd? I'm a nerd. But for crying out loud, can we just not shit on this
thing? I also want more nerd kids. Like, that's the thing about gatekeeping that is infuriating. Stop like telling people that they can't like the thing you like because of a different reason.
Yeah.
Because the more people that like it, the more popular it gets, and then there's more of it for you.
Yep.
Because the more money it makes, a company's gonna go, well, I guess I should make more of it.
And
also Games Workshop was taking a bath a couple years ago, I'm pretty sure. So like you could not have this thing.
Right.
You could just not have it.
Right. And you know what? For something for Games Workshop to step this route and to ensure that kids from different families, different backgrounds that look different than the normal white kid get a chance to see themselves in the protagonist's shoes is something that allows kids to then begin painting characters that look like them and understand and be totally cool that characters can look like them in this universe. And that is a big issue that we have in fantasy worlds. Like, even looking at, like, look at Animal Crossing, that for the longest time you couldn't even have a character in it who is not white, right? And that only changed with this iteration and update. Mm-hmm. We need to begin accepting that these things, whether or not you like them out there, you fucking dumb nerds, you fucking chunk dart, what is it, chunk light, chunk bunk,
I already
chunk
forgot.
Butt, what a cowboy, what is it, chunk dark, chunk monk, chunk funk, chunk wunk, chunk sunk,
I made it up, and it's a chunk dumb,
fucking chunk dumb nerds, that this is what needs to happen for games to survive, for fantasy to survive, and for your fucking hobbies to survive.
Mm-hmm.
We have to just accept that they need to look different because fuck, they've been so white and male for so long.
Yeah.
And you know
what we should, you know,
God,
we should do. Guys, tell me those of you in chat, like, this is giving me an idea. We should find a way to provide
this fucking hat.
We should find a way to provide like
copies of these books to
copies of these books to kids. Or I was gonna say like let's start selling getting Warhammer, like the smaller starter kits and like paint kits, and let's start using those for like the Toys for Tots. Like
that'd be awesome.
You know, let's
and like start... put a copy of this book in there, like get some Necrons and like,
yeah, like, you go. Like give some kids a,
this is
like
staying, by the way, this is happening.
That's, I love it. I love it. I'm going to, like, if anybody knows any charities like that, like, let me know. If not, let's talk about maybe starting some type of program like that. I don't know if you can, if like Toys for Tots or whatever, because the more I think about
Toys
this,
for Grimdark Tots, if you want your kids to have fucking chain vibroblades, come to Toys for Grimdark Tots.
Tape the book onto it.
I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Not only do we need kids, you gotta be cool, we also need currently within the hobby to embrace that. I remember one of my favorite things. There was somebody at our local gaming store that may not be the most socially adept person, and that's okay. But one thing that he did, and I say that because I've had my own interactions with him and been like, oh my God. He religiously every week runs D&D games
for kids who are like 9 and 10 years old. And they're there, and the parents bring them, the parents stay there. He runs the games for them. And he does it in a way that's meant for those kids to have a good time. And he does it because he enjoys it. And that's the kind of person we need to like embrace younger nerd kids and bring them in and be like, hey, man, it's cool you like this. Let's tell stories together for 2 hours. Because you know what? The world sucks right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Kits for kids.
Kits for kids. I like that too. Potato Colada is here. Hi, Potato Colada. How are you? Thanks for tots. Kits for nerds. I love it. This junk, dumb, grimdarkers. I just, yeah, I kids need to be able to have access to this stuff, and they need to be able to see characters that look like them and that feel the way that they do and that go through the same stuff. Zelia is a hero with vulnerabilities. Mechie had, you know, he has obviously had his own physical challenges, but overcame them with his own technology, right?
That's cool. That's cool. Hey, man.
Oh, you know what? There's
Snowball.
Well, we talked about snow. You got a Snowball Mike and a Snowball. Hey, YZ Snowball. Guess what, my friend? Sorry, buddy, but you're out of there. it's because you had a snowball you were eating. I don't know. This is just like this Sorry. Story. No, it's okay. The story as I was reading it became more and more passionate. I was reading it. I wish I had this. I wish I had a chance to read something like this when I was a kid. And now I want kids to read. I want them to learn about Skaven, and I want them to learn about orcs, and I want them to learn about Necrons. I want to learn about them.
Yeah, I'm gonna when my stepson has done his copy of the book, I'm gonna be like, hey man, either hand it to a friend, or I'm gonna take it and I'm gonna send it, you know, I'm gonna give it to somebody. And then the DVD set that I've got, as terrible as the fact that it's DVDs, I'm gonna give it to somebody, you know, like, because I think it's I like it, and I want more of it, and I want it to get out there, and I want these projects and these hobbies to be accessible to everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is a world with a giant amount of lore. I sit there at night now because I'm new at it, watching videos about like Warhammer lore. And let's face it, there are 9 million dudes out there going, this is the world of Warhammer, a grim, dark future where humanity is under siege constantly. But like, I'll watch it because I want to know about it.
Stuff,
like,
right.
Like, and one dude can tell me about the Eternal Emperor or whatever it is for like 40 minutes and I'm fine.
Oh, by the way, Potato Colada, doing great. Thank you so much. Bob Design and I, we just got super mad about alt-right nerds in the internet. And they can burn. Mick Arcade says it's important for kids to see cool stuff. Absolutely. And this stuff deserves to be.
Yeah.
Like for a kid to look at it and go, you know what, that's actually really cool. And I had a thought that was in my brain and it fell out. It literally was present and it just fell out of my brain. I blew it. I want, if we can't accept in children the willingness to want to explore fantasy worlds as within this nerd culture, we're not going to see it happen on a larger scale. And we're in a great place for it to happen on a larger scale. Everybody loves going to see Marvel movies, right? And they then go read Marvel comics. And kids love Marvel movies, and they go read Marvel comics. You know, and it's just time. It's time for this to be totally fine. It's time for this stuff to be fine. And if you're a nerd who happens to have an American flag hanging on his wall, and you're also an asshole who thinks that your hobby things must be grimdark, get the fuck out. Like, you're not welcome here anymore, nerd.
Fuck you, nerd.
Right, like, that's what it is. Like, I want... Oh, my God, sorry.
Look at this fucking nerd. Get out of here.
Look at him with his devil...
Eat shit.
Potato Colada's coming in here. He's like, but... Really accepting. We absolutely are. We are.
It's, yeah,
I just don't... Because I don't accept...
We don't accept people who aren't accepting.
Turn kids into nerds, they won't have money for drugs, Potato Colada says. Right there. I love it. I love it.
No, 100% accepting. I get tired of people who are hiding behind their, honestly, their white maleness. Like, yeah. As a white male, like you make me sick and you make me ashamed.
Yes.
I'm tired of waking up and, hey, look in the mirror, bro. Because guess what? You're not You're not going to be the typical good guy anymore.
And you know what?
Get over it.
These kind of thoughts. I have a lot of changes in myself in the past 2 years. These kind of thoughts are the thing that make me look at something like The Last Jedi, which I didn't really like. And I know Battle Dave and I, I think we might disagree on that, right? But here's the thing, is that I recognize that my dislike for Last Jedi, A, doesn't keep the movie from existing, and B, then maybe it's just not a movie meant for me, and I got to be cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are plenty of people, especially young Star Wars nerds, got into Star Wars, and like, this is a great movie. And I'm like, that's what it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a lot of commentary right now about with John Boyega and his role in Star Wars, and the fact that like a large amount of people are going, hey, you know what? The first new Star Wars movie, Force Awakens, was like marketed that Finn was going to be the main character and be this important factor in the movie. And he is, but he's not the lead. Now we got a female lead.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people were like, we wanted a black lead in a Star Wars movie. And I can understand what they're upset about. Like, also, Finn's a great character, and I wanted to see more of that character. And it's like, it is like his importance got to be less and less throughout the
Absolutely.
Series. To the point where they just left the plot
line. Even look
line
how
out.
they dumped the Rose plot in the new one. Like, and I didn't mind Rise of Skywalker, but they were like, oh, by the way, Rose, not a thing that happens. I'm like, but okay, so you gave her to me. I want to learn. I got to learn more about her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that like that I could feel in those. I could literally feel in that movie them like taking it back, being like, oh, we don't want to be risky anymore. And that's the kind of power that these stupid fucking alt-right nerds have that piss off so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they disgusting. Think now there is a platform for this kind of stuff to affect their favorite hobbies. Let fucking kids enjoy your hobbies, dude.
Hey, we've been mad enough. Let's have some fun.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm tired of being mad. Like, I'm just saying, I'm calling it for the night. I'm tired of being mad about stuff.
If you have not read the Warhammer Adventures book, this is the first time, I think, the first time in Cube, that I'm going to say.
Heavy recommend.
So much fun. So, and mm-hmm. if you don't read them and you don't like them, find a kid that you know. Donate them to an LGS. Donate them to a local gaming store if you buy them and you're not the biggest fan.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the LGS and say, hey, I got these books that kids might really like. Have them give them to a kid. Like, there's some way that books like these can get young people hammer, and that should be right there. That's all A+ recommend.
Yep. A+ recommend. Keep buying them. Keep giving them.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, do you have any more things you want to say? Do we get y'all to expand to a 40K novel in the future?
So I've heard that they are not great, and so Battle that is Dave. A definite possibility.
Battle Dave, I need you to recommend the worst 40K novel you can. Because I'm exhausted of loving this book.
Also, is there, I'm going to look it up. Dave, let's talk, because I need an audiobook version. I don't think I can handle reading
A few
it.
Heavy recommendations. Here's the deal, Battle Dave, is that when that happens, you'll be on the show, my friend. You'll be on the show. Not the worst, man. He says.
I can't.
Mick Arcade. I've been thinking, but Mick Arcade says he'd love to see us tackle the MTG books. You know what? War of the Spark came out pretty recently, and it might be worth checking that out because it's.
Yeah.
I know that Tolarian Community College, the professor, reviewed it, and he basically like shat all over it. But he's also a much more controlled man than we are. So.
Dave, it's got to be the worst. That's what this podcast
be bad.
Is normally about.
Like, gotta be bad. Bad.
Honestly,
books.
I picked this book up and was like, I'm gonna read a crappy kids dumb. Book. It's gonna be dumb.
And then we're like,
I'm gonna hate it. And then I'm like, okay, kids book. So don't worry, we'll pick some other trash kids books eventually when we do this again.
And do you guys have any thoughts out there about it? Like last things that you want to bring for? Oh, and Cowboy. Absolutely, I watch The Professor. Uh-huh. The Professor is required watching for me.
Many Magic the Gathering players ask the question.
Recognizing that The Professor's hair has slowly grown back over the past year is actually bothering me, because I was one of those people who was like, you know what? I dig The Professor with short hair. I liked him with short hair.
As long as he bought a new vest.
Please read War of the Spark. It's something else, Cowboy said. I've heard that it's sort of like the Mortal Kombat Annihilation of books.
Oh, no.
Where like you get characters who pop in, they're like, I'm here and I'm gonna do magic, and they fly away and they never, or they just fucking die.
Oh man,
I don't know. Oh, like, or they didn't good. They created a whole character just to be the main character when they have all of these other like really storied, amazing what? Characters. Yeah,
like characters that are literally Teo, beloved.
Teo the Shield Mage, the guy that was on the one card.
Yeah,
he was created. He was created for that story.
I got that promo card when we went to like yeah, did something War of the Spark.
Teo is no. like he's the main character. He's like hey, I'm Teo. I'm a Shield Boy. I defend people. I'm a Planeswalker too.
I thought that like the whole point of the story was like Jace was your main character. No, basically.
God, thank Jason, God for that. I don't need Jace to Gideon.
I know it's not Jace pronounced to Gideon.
Pop his collar and fucking be like, I'm gonna do time magic on you.
Oh man,
I don't need that.
You know, we're throwing too many nerd
Liliana
words.
At least. Give me some fucking real Liliana shit, right? Like. Give me some Vraska shit. That's what I want.
Look, Black Dex, man. Black Dex.
let's see. Have any no, Gabe and Kyle, we did not do a pog in a chat for our outlook and my outfit and look today, but thank you, sir. But here's the real pog right here. Here we go.
Oh no. Ow, I just hit something with my knee. I was so upset.
Gabe Moncayo. Highlighting his message as usual. Do you have any last minute things you want to call out there and plug there really quick, Bob Design, before we call it quits here tonight?
Yeah, I do. You guys are actually getting the first announcement of this. Vio and I he participates in a Evil Dead the Musical with me every October, but thanks COVID, we're not doing that this year. So I'm sorry. I got hit with.
I'm looking for the raid. So y'all, you need to talk.
It's cool. So anyway, this thing that we do every year, this Evil Dead the Musical, we can't do it this year, and there's no streaming rights allowed. Like otherwise, we'd just try to do it online. But so instead, we've decided that we're creating a game show. And
thanks for this, Biddy's Game on Kyle. I love you.
This game show is going to be called the Evil Dead themed pay to spray splatathon.
Oh God, I don't know. You're the big boy.
And basically, for three nights in October, three weekend nights, we're not sure of the dates yet. You will tune in. You can tune into Twitch and watch us play a game show, kind of like an adult themed Double Dare with blood and the F word. And cast members from the show will. Compete against each other, and there'll be audience participation, including cast members. You'll be able to like do some like a small donation. You can get shout outs. You can also get the cast members to like spray each other. But also the point is to like pick a team and help that team win. Yeah,
absolutely.
We'll have more details of it like later. I'm going to be releasing the actual like promo stuff by the end of the week.
It is going to be a lot of fun. And you'll also, I mean, I also think there's gonna be opportunity to hear us actually like maybe do stuff from the show. Evil Dead is a thing that we've been doing every year. Love it.
This would have been our fifth anniversary. Yep.
And
that sucks.
Going to put it out there that I believe that, Bob Design has put together the best version of Evil Dead the Musical that even is far better than the touring version, and that is 100% truth.
And the touring version uses a lot of video work. Like they don't have an actual set, it's a video set, and ours is like an actual set. Gabe, no worries, because I'm not going to be in the episode. I'll be producing. Like that's kind of what I do with this. I'd like direct and produce it. It's my baby that I've been doing for five years.
A long time. All right. So let's see. Is Shawnee Demonic online? Because I'm always giving.
What are
Shawnee
we doing next week?
Oh, what are we doing? tell me. Is it Ghostman's?
We are doing Ghost Butters. So next week, tune in. We're going to do Ghostbusters for the next 2 weeks. The newly released Audible version novelization of Ghostbusters. And the great thing about it is it's a 7-hour long audiobook, so it's not that long, but it's also split up. It's Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2.
I can't wait. My name is Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club. Thanks for coming by.
We love you.